They were, but this dude down here. Definitely here. Down here is fine. Okay. Great job. Excellent song. So I was talking today about, you know, not being able to have rhythm because I'm a little on the white side. And I said, well, we need Travis. And everybody said, no, wrong. I said, you're kidding me. And they said, nope. That's why he's got Brittany, right? Besides, for many reasons. That's just one of them. It's so good to see you, boy, for a while there. We weren't sure how the weather was going to be, you know. I don't know why I watch the news. It's like these dead batteries, good for about 2 minutes. Always so bad, so disastrous, you know, it's just, and here we are. So I just would, if you don't mind, well, I applaud you, you can help me. I so appreciate you being here. We came a long way, we've been waiting all year for this, so I'm glad that you're here. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll get you out at a nice time so that we can get family settled and have time to talk and prepare for our week. 52 degrees tomorrow, that'll be feel like summer. 63, I think, on Wednesday, something like that. Not that I care about the weather. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Matthew, actually, just go to John chapter. Yeah, Matthew chapter 1, we'll do that. Touch that one real quick. I have one new verse I want to put in here. I don't know if Stephen got it. I sent it to him kind of late, so he may not have gotten it. He got it. Oh, that's my Stephen. Plus two, I don't know. He's been on a diet or working out. The dude's got a stud on me all of a sudden. I come here this week, I see him up here running around and thinking, look at that guy. What's up with that? He's in the ballpark, ladies, I got to tell you. There's no question. Even from here, he's a little red. Just a little. A little. Could be the lights back there, but I don't think so. It could be the glare off my head, too, since I shaved it again today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. From the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. From the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. 42, or he the 42nd generation, very important. All right, Matthew chapter 11. Let's just stop there for a second on our way out. I will not, certainly won't recap all of this morning, but I just want to say a couple of things to bring us to tonight. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 and verse 13. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. They had to be violent to take it violently, and the violent took it by force. But for all the prophets until the law prophesied until John. All right, as we're going across there, Hebrews chapter 12. And then we'll go to our final verses tonight. We're going to stop at one more Hebrew word, Hebrew verse in the 12th chapter. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 first. We saw these things this morning. Verse 28. It's a quote from the prophet Haggai, which is amazing here in the New Testament. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving no more fight, no more violence, no more war, no more having to achieve. We have received and continue to receive a kingdom which, please, if you ever have a bad day and you're afraid and watch the news and we don't know what's going to happen, cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. Hebrews chapter 10. He got it in there for me. Beautiful. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. I'm going to just stick in verse 7. On verse 6, he has, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, it's really the psalmist, but it's Jesus speaking about the coming Messiah. I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God, which he did. All right, Revelation chapter 11, where we will remain tonight. As we approach the revelation, I just want to again say, it is a book that contains eschatology, end time teaching. It is not a book of eschatology. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is allegorical. It is not set in contextual nature in all of it. It's not set in a chronological order. Portions of it are, portions of it isn't. About 8 or 9 of these chapters are for the final generation of the final day before his coming. Chapter 11, verse 1 through verse 4. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is out, the outer court of the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city, and they shall tread underfoot 42 months. There's our number again. And I will give, power is the translation, but there's that word should not be in there. I will give whatever is necessary. They didn't know how to translate it. Whatever is necessary, unlimited, unparalleled. I will give whatever is necessary, this power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Again, 42 months, 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. As you know, it is certainly your passion and your heart to not let any generation go to their home ultimately without experiencing the absolute fullness of your intention for their generation. So tonight our cry continues for the generation that is ahead of us, my dad's generation at 81. Lord, let them not go to the grave without beholding the fullness of God's intent for their generation. For my generation at 59, my sons at 40, name your name there, my grandson at 18 years old, my youngest granddaughter at 6, the youngest in this room, Lord, who still does not yet know even where they are. Lord, we declare plainly that we long for the fullness of our God. We are not interested in a simple visitation, but we thank you for all of them. We're not looking for the rain, but we are looking for the former and the latter at one time. We're looking for an outpouring of your Spirit. We're looking for the absolute fullness of our God, nothing less than Jesus Christ fully manifested, that the world will know that you sent him and have sent us, that we might know you tonight in full depth, that no matter where we are, no matter what we're measuring tonight, no matter what has affected our lives, how we're feeling at this moment, a phone call, tomorrow's work, uncertain future, uncertain job, wherever we are, let us look to you like never before. Lord, caused by our revelation for us to embrace, grip fully the potential of our God in our day. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as a small recap. So when he was born of flesh and blood, the Hebrew writer will talk about this moment that it was a body that the one known as the Word would have. And he would be incarnated. It would be, for the first time in history, divinity in humanity, God in flesh. Never before in the history of mankind, even though God came upon men, God anointed men, God worked through men, never was God in a man. As great as it has been through the history of the people of God, it was, those were measured moments and measured times. This one would be born, and he would grow up just like every other man. He was raised like us. He has all of our feelings, all of our passions, all the sensitivities to the world. We think, and we often think, that he walked above them and he never saw what was going on. He never lived amongst them. I beg to differ. He was very sensitive to the world. He understood what was going on. He felt the darkness, the trouble, the difficulty. He understood the demonic. He understood the spirit of the age. He understood Rome's tyranny of occupation. He understood what it was like to be around a people that really didn't care about his father. He knew. Yet we watch him walk and demonstrate in humanity a divinity. Men would see him and they would weep. Women would come and bow before him. They would try to make him king and he would go away. They would say of him, "You're great." And he would say, "I'm nothing. There's only one great one, my Father." He would utter words like what I see my Father do. I read him to this day and I say, "You can't say that. That is a present tense moment. You can't say that." He says, "Absolutely. I saw him while I was here. I was there." He was the beginning, please hear this, of two realms in one. Heaven was in earth for the very first time. He was the beginning of a race of people that would be in the earth in every generation. That was the intent of them from the beginning. When he came, he wasn't the only one. You see, when they crucified him, Rome thought they ended the insurrection. The religious thought they ended their problem. And the demonic thought that's the end of the sons. But they didn't know that he was the firstborn among many brethren. And that in every generation, they would be a body just like his, except multifaceted, set in every nation. And that body was to be anointed. That body was to have the spirit without measure, just like him. Greater than Moses, greater than Joshua, greater than Elijah, greater than Elisha, greater than Samuel. He would be the greatest man to walk the earth, the beginning of a generation that the world would come to know as the body of Christ. That is us. So as we're living in this world, yes, let me just say clearly, there is to be a demonstration of power equal and greater than his. I don't want to go back over them, but if you want to have a nice study, just write all the miracles down and meditate them and say, "Okay, that's me." Oh, no, that's for apostles. I'm sorry, they need it, please. Oh, no, those are for prophets. No, they do need it. You're right. I wish they were holy apostles and holy prophets like it declares, but we're kind of working on that right now. Then he said to his disciples, "The works I've done, you'll do." And they said, "That's the coolest thing we've heard." And then he said, "Greater than these, you'll do." That was even cooler. So we're to be walking in this earth. We're to be walking in our generation, understanding that he has established a kingdom that is not violent or taken by force, or it's not a violent thing that we've got to work for. We have, at our new birth, have received it. When we were born from above and the seed of God came here, the kingdom of God came with it fully for us. Because he loves the world and he longs to demonstrate to the world and fully manifest himself in the body as much as he did it in that body. You with me? So that the world would clearly say, there it is, and that he would love for us to be able to say and hear that when you see us, you see him. Those are the attainable goals. Those are the prizes for us. So while we are here, we can anticipate, believe, especially here, for the demonstration of his power, unprecedented, miraculous healings, the prophetic word, the word of God in unbelievable fashion. We have to know, and let me just say it to you just briefly before I go into this, that the 42 months or the 3.5 years is clearly when he began the work of God and when he finished it. So these are allegorical, these months and these days of 1,260. What the word of the Lord will be, and I'm going to cover it deeper tomorrow, is we must know that from the beginning of our days with him, he will be with us till the very last breath, and he is determined to fulfill his will in every one of our lives. Do not think you'll fall short of it. He set us in the body that we would please him and that we would fully accomplish his will. He is not interested in anybody at the end of their life wondering, did I do it? Did I finish it? On the contrary, he is determined that he will see us through, and he will release these witnesses, which we'll talk about a little bit more later. So in the meantime, Jay, while I'm walking around so supernatural, very naturally, just my normal life living, you want me to walk in this world and make like nothing is happening, see nothing. Oh, no, 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 no. But John's going to have this word from this angel. He's going to say, I want you to take this reed. It was a length, much like what our kind of yardstick would be, but it was much longer. I'm not going to give its dimensions, not necessary. But the Hebrew mind knew it was to measure something to its exact specifics. When Ezekiel is looking at his temple, he will see it measured out by reeds. Every door, every window, the portico, the walking through the three doors that are entering in to the outer court, up into the temple, every inch of it is measured specifically. When he wants something built in the earth, he is absolutely specific about it. He told Moses the same thing. You've got to build this according to the pattern. And it was no mistakes, nothing less than. So John understood this as a Hebrew mind. It wasn't just casually laid out. He said, no, no, no. I want you to measure it so that you absolutely know its dimensions. Know it intimately. 4 tabernacles will be built in the earth. The first one was Moses' tabernacle or temples. We're going to come to that one in a moment. Solomon's temple was next. This was simply an enlargement of Moses' tabernacle. Right away, us understanding that God continually, every generation, is expanding things. He wasn't making them smaller. He wasn't duplicating. He was enlarging the revelation of who he is. Solomon's temple was simply David's tabernacle fully manifested. The next one to be built was Zerubbabel's temple. We'll look a little bit at that at a later time. This temple had no glory. This temple didn't even have dimensions. We're not sure what it looked like, but it was built because Solomon's temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The next temple to be built, 4 of them, was Herod's temple. As dead as ever. You might as well put an office. It was nothing. It was the temple Jesus came into when he cleansed out all the money changers. It was in Herod's temple. A temple to be built is Ezekiel's temple, and in the holy city there is no temple because the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple thereof. But it's Moses' tabernacle that the New Testament always refers to. Through the book of Hebrews, all through the law, it was this tabernacle. So the angel is very clear. He says to him, I like this. He says to him, arise. It's an amazing statement. The idea of the arising is, awaken. Come up here. Look at this. He's already there. He's not sitting down. He's not sleeping. But there's this allegorical movement by the angel to arise. In other words, take this thing. Look at what's happening. Arise and measure. So he gets it. I want to take you through the measurements tonight. Because the measurement of this temple is a revelation and a declaration of the character and nature of God that you and I are to hold on to in the day that we're living in. That's why he will say, don't measure the outer court. I'm going to come back here in a moment. Don't measure what's going on in the world. Don't measure what's happening around the world. Don't measure this. Don't know this intimately. Know this. So while I'm living in the world, I've got to measure. Here it is. And it's amazing to me, he's going to leave out certain things. I'll talk about them in a moment, but I want you, if you don't mind, just to walk this out with me. The temple was two portions, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. He starts in the Holy of Holies. Here's its dimensions. It is 10 cubits wide. Let me say this to you. When they were measuring with the measuring reed, they always knew these were the measurements. Width, length, height, and value. So what we're going to see right now is we're going to see the length of this tabernacle. We're going to see its width and its height. And then we're going to grip the value of it. Because you know something, when you know the value of something, there's no one that can change your mind of it. You hold on to something that you know has value. And there's no one that can convince you, well, that's not really worth anything. You'll say, oh, no, no, no. That's worth a lot. I know the value of that. So here in the measurement, John understands as he's measuring it, I'm to understand its length, width, height, and its value. So here we go. First, let's do its width. Its length. It was 10 cubits long this way. It's going to be 10 cubits wide and 10 cubits high. This Holy of Holies, where the ark was a complete square, a perfect square. Here's the number 10 for you and I. It's a number for divine order. Now, please, just for a moment, please hear me as we go through these. It isn't so much that everything has to be straight. Sometimes we get that idea, God's wanting it. Sometimes people, I don't know why, they get nervous when I come around them. And I say, really? Why were you nervous? Because I'm afraid you're going to say something about where, you know, tell something about me that no one knows. I said, do you want me to do that? No, I don't want to do that. I said, well, you know, I don't understand. You know, what's this? Said, well, I don't want, you know, because I don't want God to come and start, I know what they're saying, reorder my life because I got a few things that are a little lazy, but I like it like that, you know. That's how we think, though. He's up there, and he's waiting to get Jay straight. You know, if Jay walks crooked, get that guy straight. Well, no, here it is. Here's the word for divine order. In the Hebrew understands this. What he has begun, he will see it to its very end. See, they knew that whenever they saw the number 10. So right away, in the length of this, as John's measuring it, as we're measuring it, I've got to know in my heart that what he said, what he has begun, what he has declared, no matter what I face, no matter what I see, no matter what comes against me, I've got to know this. He will see it until its very end. That's why you have to understand the covenant. The covenant was between the Father and the Son. He's asked nothing of you and I but simply believe him. He's not saying, well, Jay, if you keep your end, the whole Old Testament is the failure of mankind. That's why he would come. They covenanted together two immutable things. They agreed and they invited us in. It's between the Father and the Son. It cannot be changed. There's no liar in it. There's no one who back down on it. So we've been invited into that. So I have to understand, it's the same thing. He started it. He didn't say, well, when Jay gets it really right and he's better and he's messing up all the time, then we'll see. Oh, no. I've got to be confident and know for sure that what he has begun in me, I don't care what anybody says, anybody thinks, what he has begun, he will see it to its very end. It's 10 cubits wide. So it's 10 here, 10 here. Same measurement. Notice again, he is doubling up. He's assuring me again in all these measurements. The final measurement, of course, is 10 cubits high. So it's 30 altogether. What's being said here? So in this, as I'm measuring it, there's this constant sense of in my life. I want it in your life. I've always got to, as I think of him. See, that's the measurement. As I consider him, as I look at him, as I'm experiencing him, I cannot forget that what he has begun in me, in my life, my wife's, my family, the church, our generation, generations coming. I've got to know he will see it till its end. The number 30 is an amazing number. I want you to see it. It's a number for full release into what he has declared. Watch. You see, the first time we see it, it's in Joseph's life. He has a dream. Oh,
My brothers are going to bow down. My parents are going to bow down. He has it twice. Well, he gets thrown into a pit by his brothers, left for dead, sold out to Ishmaelites, goes to Egypt, is sold there, ends up in prison. So much for the will of God being fulfilled in my life. I want you to watch this. He's only 17 years old when that happens. At 30 years old, all of a sudden, guys, they're with Pharaoh, and they go, what's going on? We got a dream. Well, you know what? I remember there's a guy. He's an Egyptian. He's an interpreter of dreams. He is. Where is he? Go get him. And they bring Joseph out, shave him, wash him, and clothe him, and here he comes at 30. Even when his brothers and everything worked against him. Don't you see? David is the same way. He is anointed king at 15 years old, but it'll be 15 years before he's king. Don't you know his name was Jesus Christ? They looked at him. No one knew who he was, but at 30 years old, he shows up. It is the number that sets in our lives that what God has declared, the time of release for you and I fulfilling his will, the ministry of God, all of us are ministers. All of us are the ministry. Don't look at me as such. Maybe I'm eyes and your feet, but the eyes don't get around without the feet. Maybe I'm mouth and your ear. The ear may not talk, but the mouth doesn't work well without the ear. So I know that I need you. You need me. We're one in one body, many members of one body. So I've got us to know and us to realize the value of this kingdom that we're in, the value of our God, that he will fully in time. I don't have to worry about men releasing me. I don't have to worry about men holding me. I don't have to worry about, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this right? I don't have to do anything but give him my heart fully. He will see it all the way. I love, and the reason I like Moses' tabernacle best of all, you see, Solomon's temple, though it was made of cedar, had a roof on it. So did Zerubbabel, so did Herod's, so does Ezekiel's temple. This tabernacle had no roof. It had a covering. I've got to know right away. You notice John, he didn't say to John, John couldn't measure the ceiling because there was no ceiling. Because the height and the reaching of God and the heavens are wide open to us. He set a door in the heavens. Whosoever will come, do you want to see him? Do you want to know him? I want us to know the value of his death. He won all this for us. All of this was his winning. We're going to look at a moment, only one piece of furniture. We're going to look at just this one piece. The other ones are not here, and the outer court ones I'll talk about in a moment. There's only one piece of furniture left, but this is the value of him. When we look up, because I love this looking up, everything about this morning, everything about his cry is that you and I look unto him. Look, our redemption is drawing near. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Look at him, looking at Jesus. When you looked up in Moses' tabernacle, three coverings, red or crimson, blue and purple. The crimson's always a reminder of me that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. It forever speaks my name, but it speaks the name of everyone else in the world that I come in contact with. He's not only forgiven me, he's forgiven them. He's just waiting for them to receive it. And I move in this world with the understanding of the death and his life for the world. And I begin to understand his passion, not just for me, not just for us, but for the world. There's the crimson. And even if I fail, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sins. And if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. What a life. Because if you find out when you walk out here, you're going to want to kill somebody. Your neighbor is going to let his dog come in your yard every single day to leave you a gift. Oh, yeah, no. See, this is where we are, though. And the Starbucks line will have 25 people in it. You'll have 3 minutes to get to your meeting, but you want a coffee really bad. And the guy up there is the first guy in his life. He's been there. So do you sell coffee here? And you're in the back line going, what is this? You kidding me? Is he counting change? I want to yell up there, I'll buy it. Just get him out of there. Then I listened to the TV and I got a lot of things to say about a lot of people, especially those in authority. I got a lot of comments just like you. I got a lot of things to say about the people who offended me and hurt me and all the ones who said they'd be with me. But when I look at the red up there, I remember that he came and he was left alone and he was a rejected man and he was a rejected stone. And he was a tried stone. See, when I look at the red, I begin to remember him. remember him. There's a communion, not just breaking of bread here, but there's a communion being developed here. The blue, of course, is the heavenly nature. And though I'm living in the earth, my cry is for the heavens. I'm wanting heaven and earth. How much, Jay? Like Moses? No. Elijah? Nope. Elisha? Nope. Appreciate that. Love that. I want it just like him. And the purple is the kingly. And so I'm evaluating. You see, when I look up, though, it's not so much the measurement, but it's the value. I place tremendous value upon him. He is valuable. I want to use one word to describe him for me, and I want him to be of this value for you. Precious. He is precious. I see a lot of things and that I don't want, people don't want me to touch, and they got crystals, and I love all that stuff, and I love when somebody says to me, that there is my grandmother's. Can I see it? No. This is precious to me. It's the last thing I have, and there's a little bit of a breaking in my heart, not so much for them. I don't want to say them. I want you to be this precious to me, because I know this, his father was precious to him, more precious than his own life. 10 by 10 by 30. Isn't it amazing? The ark is not there. The ark of the covenant, I won't touch it. But it had within it the pot of manna. It had within it a dead tree that budded, Aaron's rod. It also had in it the 10 commandments of law. I want you to know it's not there because he was the ark in the earth. He was the bread that came down from heaven. He was the one out of death brought life. Out of a dead life. He was born. He was bloomed out of dead life. He also was the lawgiver. He didn't execute the law. He didn't end the law. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it all. And that ark had gold on the inside, gold on the outside, acacia wood. On top of it was a mercy seat. Don't you know? He was the merciful one. And out of his mercy, he sacrificed it all for the entire world. And on that mercy seat were two cherubim. And that's where God spoke. Don't we know that he came where he was once exalted in the heavens? He came and he spoke to us. We heard from heaven because the heavenly one speaks of the heaven. And I want him to be with us. It's not lofty words or big, big words that nobody understands. I'm sorry. This man came in such simplicity and such clarity. He spoke in parables because they weren't to know. But with his disciples, he made everything clear. He didn't come disguised. He came fully open. The ark was not there. The inner court, that was the holy of holies, the holy place, was this next dimension, a little larger. It was 10 feet square this way, 10 feet wide, and it was 10 feet high, but it was 20 cubits, 10 cubits by 10, but it was 20 cubits this way. Are you enjoying the numbers? I hope you're okay with them. The ones who love them, love them, and the other ones are just, you guys are listening to me. It's good, though. Just open up your heart. Just let this... I tell you, a lot more is happening than you realize. Just let it come in. The number 20 is the number for divine anticipation. That's why I got this little bounce in my step. I'm sorry. I try to get a little more depressed, honestly. I watch the news purposely. I do. I watch the news to kind of get real. A lot of my friends say to me, Jay, you're living, you're not living in a real world. So I try to watch the news. I try to get down a little bit. I even make faces down. This, that. I put on some really, the really, really bad news. That there's nothing good ever. You know, BBC, I'll put that on. All over the world, they tell me what's going on. I can't help it, though. I got this divine, anticipation. I got this hope that goes beyond hope. I have this passion for what, Jay? Being big? No. Lost that in my 30s. Having a name? Nope. Lost that in my 40s. Being well known? No, not really. I'm still losing that. Maybe when I'm 60. What is it then? Oh, I've got this passion. As he said it in John chapter 17, there become my words now. I want to glorify you in the earth. I want to finish the work us to finish the work. I pray it for him and his family. I pray it for my brothers and my sisters, especially that we, his words would be our words at the end of our life. And with our disciples, we would look up and say, I've glorified you on earth. I've finished the work that you gave me. I've finished it. And I've manifested your name. And I've given them the words you gave me. So when I look at that news, I don't measure the outer court. I measure this. So here it is. It's a divine anticipation. In what? In all that he has said, all that he has done, every word of this that has never come to pass. Well, Jay, what if he's holding it for an end time day? Fine. I'm believing it. The earth filled with his glory. Not just rain, latter rain, the restoration and the outpouring of his spirit. Sons and daughters prophesying, old men dreaming dreams. I'm still having visions. I can't wait to be an old man. I want to dream some dreams. So here it is. Now between these two was a veil. He tore it. There's no veil. John doesn't measure the veil. It's open. It's now open to everybody, not some special guy, some apostle, some prophet, anyone who will just comes. It's now an open door. But inside of this veil were the same colors. They were blues and they were purples and they were whites and they were reds, and in them were cherubims. It's just simply that the heavens declare he is glorious. He is worthy. Here in the heavens, he is exalted and magnified. In the heavens, he is preeminent. He is first place. Everything revolves around him. He is the one and only. It's here. The cherubims give him glory. So I know that the value of giving him glory. There's one piece of furniture. There were three when Moses built his tabernacle. On the south side was the candlestick. It's not here. It's not to be measured. Jesus fulfilled that too. What was that? That was light and oil and without dimension, solid gold. It was him in spiritual dimensions, unprecedented, just like us. Over here is the table of showbread. It was everything he was. It spoke about his life, his death. There were 12 loaves of bread. I don't want to keep doing this with you. There were two crowns. All these things speak of his life. He came as this table of showbread. He walked in the earth. He was the bread. He was the broken bread. He was the pierced bread. He fulfilled that. But it's this altar here that is left. Something is the brazen altar, but that was in the outer court. It wasn't in the inner court. This one. Let me just let you see it. It was 2 cubits high. And it was 1 cubit square. It was a perfect square. It had 2 rings on it. They often think that when it was carried and moved, it moved like this. Very possible. On it was put incense. It was a sweet-smelling incense. 3 things mixed with 2 things. 5 altogether. That's the number of grace. They are put on here. Every morning when Aaron would come into the tabernacle, he would put oil in the lamp every morning, every evening. Please, if you've got an ear, hear this. When should I spend time with him? Morning and evening, morning and evening. Oil in the morning, oil in the evening. How much time? It didn't matter. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15, maybe 2. Doesn't matter. But he came. Sometimes he had to cut the wicks. So he put oil morning and evening. And he came over here and put incense. And this fragrance filled this inner court. I want to talk about this, and I'm done. It is square, 4 square. On its corners are 4 horns. You getting the picture? I probably could have did a picture. It might have helped you, but I'm not into the PowerPoint. Apologize. Solid gold made of the acacia wood. It had a crown around it. Let me say some things about this. It speaks of the dimension of his life that was while he was here and remains while he is there. It had 4 horns on it. The horns speak of authority. It's 4 square, which always speaks of the 4 corners of the earth. What it was, and please hear this, all authority was given to him. He never really left Israel. He went to Samaria, which was still in Israel. But he was given power over the air, over the seas, over the fowls of the air, over the demonic. He was given power over all things. He was the one that had authority like no other man. All authority, he said, has been given to me. And he had it. From this place, the incense speaks of two things. His life, you've got to watch it. Sometimes I wonder sometimes when he says that I've glorified you in the earth, I don't really say to him like I see us, I glorify you. Only once he sang a hymn. I'm not really big on hymns. I like him. He sang a hymn. I don't know what it was. Probably a psalm. But one time he sings a hymn, and then he prays twice. One was the Our Father, and then he prays. So I think, where's, I don't understand. Then I began, as I researched it, I see. You see, everything he did was unto his Father. It changed me. So you mean when I get up in the morning and I bring Linda coffee, is it for her or is it unto him? It's unto him. I reap a great blessing, though. It helped me. How about a little dishwashing? Unto him. So in the midst of me being a blessing to her, my household, I'm giving him glory. So when I go to work, is it the paycheck I'm working for? Or if I go to work as unto him, and I work as unto him, I can trust unto him, and even my boss thinks, wow, you're something. But I'm giving him, are you following me? So if I see my neighbor and I just wave to him, even if he doesn't wave back, and I love those who do not love me, and I pray for the ones who hate me and despise, and I love my enemies, if I just do those things, I'm giving glory unto him. I realize it. That's why, you see, all his life was an incense unto his Father. It was his lifestyle. And I didn't realize. So I'm here right now talking to you, but what about when I'm at Starbucks tomorrow? I'm at the gym. How do I really behave? What do you really see? Is this Jay LaRue right now, or is Jay LaRue always like this? I don't talk and prophesy to people. I do prophesy in the gym and stuff like that, but I just don't say, they'll say the Lord's scripture and stuff. I just say this and that about your mother, how you doing, don't worry about this and that. I just do it. And they look at me and they say, how did you know? I said, well, a friend of yours told me. Which is true. Is he not their friend? He wants to be more than just a distant friend, but it's a good start. We're talking about being supernatural, right? Why not? So see the glory. He says to the disciples, I give authority to you. So the authority that he had, he has released it to us. Oh, yeah. So you don't have to leave this place. Do you realize that if this church will become so unified, so one that you could take your neighbor's hand, call on the phone and say, listen, Jay LaRue's in California, and they're talking that there's going to be an earthquake there. We're going to command that earthquake to cease. Oh, if I remember correctly, he had power over the air, power over the water. He said, wind ceased. I remember a young man in the Old Testament, he was really 80 years old, he commanded the sun to stand still. Well, if that was limited spirit and we have unlimited, why not? But also here, please, he not only gave glory, but he ever liveth to make intercession. He is not convincing his Father of anything. His Father is in love with us. Nothing can change that. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us. And if we fail, it can cleanse us. He's not convincing his Father. He's convincing you and me of his Father's ability. He doesn't have to say anything about, you know, Jay's down there. He's really trying. Yeah, well, I'm getting a little tired of that. Jay, you know, he makes mistakes. I see it. And he talks, and I don't want to. I'm sick of hearing his mouth and that shiny head. You know, he's got hair, and we gave it to him, and we're still counting those hairs, but he likes to shave it. How come? Does he not like us? Does he not like the hair we gave him? I don't know, Father. Well, you should know Jesus. Huh? Oh, no. No. That's why I love the prophetic word. He is absolutely for us. But do you know it's our responsibility to ever live it, to make intercession while we're here, to pray for our brothers, to pray for our pastor, to pray for our neighbors. Can you imagine if the, I know the earth is travailing for the sons of God, but can you imagine the earth shaking because the people of God are in and just crying out to him, do this, not, oh, please love me, oh, no, he loves you, but can we cry out? Will you move upon our president? Will you speak? Will you set men in the White House? Men set men. That don't mean, I don't mean that they, I've got history of men influencing kings. We don't need so much to have a king who believes. He'll set a Daniel in there, and Daniel will convince him. Why not? Why can't we believe for his appearing to the entire world and to men who don't believe, women who don't believe? He loves to appear. Why don't we ask him? Why don't we call upon him? Why isn't there a prayer moving up to him? So he ever liveth. This is one ministry that he continues to, but he is released unto you and I power and authority. This is what this is. Four square. I could touch any corner of the world. There's no limitations to you and I, none. Don't think that you're here or you don't. That's why I don't know what it is. We got to run here, run there. If that's your calling, fine. For Jeremiah was called to pull down nations and kingdoms. He only left for a little while to Egypt. He didn't go everywhere. How is it possible he could do that? Because of the power that was released to him as a prophet. I want you to know he was limited compared to us. So I'm measuring it. I don't want to go back over it. I want to finish. So here we are. So do I take my reed out into the outer court? No. He's allowed the Gentiles to trod in this place. Now in Israel, they walk all over that city. When Jesus was there, they walked all over that city. He was upset. His own people in his father's house were merchandising. It was worse then, not than now. And he cleared it out. He was so zealous. See, this is the glory. They all heard. Look at his zeal. He loved his father's house because his father's house was precious to him. So we're to know this intimately. What about the world? I'm living in it. Don't measure it. Don't know the world system intimately. It doesn't mean we don't vote. It doesn't mean I got to put all this in here so that Tommy doesn't get mad at me. It doesn't mean we're not involved. I'm heavily involved. I have a day set apart, and I've been at the White House. I've been in places in the Congress that you're not allowed to go. I've touched the places that the president's walked in, touched in. I'm believing for the Lord to do something, not only in our nation, but in all the nations of the world. So I have a day set, so don't think that. Don't think I'm living in some cave somewhere. Absolutely not. I'm not doing the Elijah thing. I'm doing the Jesus thing, walking amongst the people in this world, but I'm not measuring them. I'm not deciding on our life or what we're going to believe on their beliefs or their way. Now, I just want to say this to us. I want to say some final things, and I'm done. There were two things that were in the outer court because this is offensive to me. I got to tell you, I struggle with this. There was the brazen laver, and what that was, it was the place that the offering was sacrificed. Something died so that there could be bloodshed. And there was the brazen laver. It was where the priest washed their hands and feet. The two things speak of two works of Jesus. One was his death and his shed blood. Boy, if you turn on TV sometime, you hear Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And you hear them, I don't believe in him, I don't care what he did. It's a fool for somebody to die like that. And they make comic strips about it, they make comedy about him. Yeah, this is the time that I want to be violent. But I realize that I have to remember that the Gentiles were trodden down. What it'll do is they'll desecrate the outer court. And so they beat him up till this day. But you know what was hard for me? I wanted to say something about it, but his father has been silent since the very day he was killed. You know what his answer is? To put a people who are salt and earth into a land that does not believe. That's how he'll fight it. And the word of God is laughed at. Every university I'm at, it's amazing to me. If I'm there, the PhDs come out. you believe that Bible? That's nothing. And they know a lot more about this than you think. They've read it. And so they know its textual nature. They know the stories. They'll argue with me the stories. I can't argue with them. Some people do. But they say, this is of no value. This is useless. We shouldn't even have it. It should not even be involved. It shouldn't even be. See, this is the thing that's come to wash us clean. This is the labor. This, and I open up this word for you and I. It washes me clean. It washes my feet, washes my hands, washes my face. My eyes get clarity. Even my clothing, as I dive into it, it cleanses me. Look at us. We're a pure people than we've ever been. I used to be given to such lust. I grew up with a lustful family my father, my grandfathers, my uncles, none of them were faithful to their wives. It's been both sides of my family. I had no hope lost in the world. There would be no way that I could be faithful to one woman. There's no way that I could love Linda. I was so selfish, so carnal, such a stupid jerk. Then he came for me, and he washed me. I wasn't clean the very first time, but he's been washing me ever since. You? So I got to know that they're going to trodden down his name. They're going to trodden down his work. They're going to trodden down what he's done. They're going to have their ideas. They're going to have their lifestyles. They're going to point at us. They're going to make fun of us. But you've got to not measure it. Why? And I'm going to say this, I'm done. Because he is going to release the two witnesses into the world. Did you notice that? Now, I have no problem for the ones who love eschatology. I have no problem with the very last generation of the generation of Jesus Christ being two men. I have no problem with that. But I want you to know this, though, and I'm going to cover it more tomorrow, that there's never been two men who stood by the Lord of all the earth. There's only been these two, the Word and the Spirit. They have been the witnesses, and still to this day, witness of the God of all the earth. And so what he wants to release into the world is a dimension of his Spirit unprecedented in power, and demonstration of power. But he wants to release the Word of God, not just the scripture verses, but a living Christ in the world, so that when they see you and I, they see him. We may have different names, we may have different looks, we may have different languages, but if you bring an Asian guy here, a German man here, a man from Israel, a man from Palestine, a man from Egypt, and you bring a man from Switzerland, Sweden, from Jamaica, and you put them all in one room, and they all name the name of the Lord, you got something really common there. You follow me? So we'll come because he's bringing the witness of his Spirit and his Word to you and I in unprecedented measures, because he has determined that we will fulfill the will of God despite what the world thinks and despite what the world does. But do not be fooled. He loves the world. Stand with me for a moment. Can you say amen? Was it too much for you? Man, phew. Thank you for letting me do that. I think it's pretty simple myself, clear, but, you know, I don't know. It's easy for me. I think it's easier to say it than it is to get it, but I think you got it. Yes? Good. Yeah, I'll use it in a second. All right, just one hand. Father, no, you don't have to. I was going to pray for us. Thanks. Sorry. I love this church because you do the repeating, but I'm not used to it. I apologize for that. Father, let us see tonight. I pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ for us all. That we really begin to measure him. When we hear Pastor Sean speak, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Travis, any of the pastors, Pastor Edwina, when we hear them speak, and or we hear a song sung, or we read our Bible, or we hear a song on our CD player, let us measure you. Be exalted and be magnified among us. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You're going to stay there. All right, got a little time. We're good. All right? We good? Beautiful. Nice. So, bro, where's your wife? Okay, I'll wait till she comes back. I can wait. It's not a problem, really. Yeah, no, it's all right. You don't have to be nervous. It's really good. See, now you're starting to get nervous on me. I could feel it. You know, just relax. Jeez, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna try to move a little quicker. All right, so we're rushing this time. My sister, you're an amazing young woman. You really are. and you're between things. You've really made this commitment to Jesus Christ, and it's good though, and it's real. It's not that you didn't do it when you were a teenager, but this is the real deal now. When you were a little younger, you kind of came along and came because you know how that runs. But this time you've really come, and he has taken notice. I mean, he's always watched you, but you've really gotten his attention because of a renewed heart and passion for him and for his will. So the Lord is going to begin visiting your life, causing you to see him, because you're not really sure what you're to do, what you should do, how you should do it. You've always been like that. You've made your parents just crazy nuts, really. Will she ever know what she's going to do? Will she ever make up her mind? In their bedroom, they talk like this. I don't know what you're going to do. They fight because of you, because they don't know what you're going to do. Are you going to get up? You're going to go. So they say, well, you're going to work. She gets a job. She loves it. 2 days later, she doesn't like it anymore. You know, what are we going to do with her? But they knew, though, like Moses' parents, that there was something very special about you. They've always known it. It's true. So you need to know that even this word comes to confirm your decisions toward him. He is going to work a greater discipline in your life. It can't always be the way you want it. He's changing things where you want it to be according to what he wants it to be. That's the adjustment that's going on right now. You really are. You cry as you want him. You want his will. You used to want a boyfriend. Now you want his will. Yeah. Yeah. That's okay, though. It's normal to want a boyfriend. There's nothing wrong with that. But the boyfriend has to come in the right time and the right order. So you have way too much value for young men right now. So there has to be this time period of the young men have to take a break. You have to take a break from that part of your life. It's okay. He's not punishing you, but he's just drawing you to him, because the reality is he wants to fulfill your life in more ways than you could ever dream. And there's such a place in you. All you want to do is just be loved and appreciated. Even though you got a great personality, you always felt like you didn't fit in anywhere. It's just how you felt. You just didn't. And sometimes people, they were rude to you. You notice when people talk about you, you understand people do. And so it's been painful to you. Through your high school years especially, there were some real issues that happened. It made you isolate. But the Lord, he's been the one who, by cords of mercy, has drawn you to him. So this is the beginning. You seek his heart and will. You're really gifted in not just so much, some music, but in art and artistry, in colors and things like this. You really do. I know you're wearing jeans with holes in them. Those are nice. I like them. By the way, the boots are nice too. Yeah, I used to have them, but I can't wear them in church anymore because I'm a minister. But I wear them at the mall, guaranteed that, girl. And people say to me, what about those jeans? I say, I'm holy. What do you want from me? So this is the beginning of this change. So please be patient with the Lord. It's a day of submission to him and a trusting of those who are in authority over your life like never before. And the Lord, he will rearrange things. So again, you're in this middle place, like in a hallway, and there's several doors, several choices that you're thinking about making. He will guide you. But right now, there must be a looking onto him. There must be a remeasuring of him, his greatness. Even this word you want to get, they're taping it so that you can hear the Lord. It's not so much me giving it, but you can hear his heart towards you, that you'd be willing to wait on him, be willing to seek his face. You walk with him, I already see the whole thing coming together in your late 20s, early 30s. He will bring home love and what you've always wanted. He will bring that. But see, you'd not be satisfied if you didn't find the will of God. That would be a problem, because you'd want to get up, run here, go here. Well, maybe I should be a missionary. Maybe I should go here, go there. But he is settling you down so that you're rooted. You must be. And out of that rooting, he will move you where he needs to at his time. You'll be able to trust him. You got to know, girl, he loves you. He's super stoked about you. He is super stoked. He is not disappointed. He knows the failures. He knows the mistakes, even the ones that people don't know. You know what I'm talking about. It's okay, though. He's come to forgive us. I have them, too, so don't think you're alone. But understand, that's the kind of God he is. He's loved us through it all. And all he's asking is for us to believe him. Tonight, choose him above everything, and he will fully be yours. My brother, I'm sorry that we couldn't get over there, but I'm glad you're here. So the Lord, he has found a faithful man and a gracious man, as he has with you. And I love this, because all of these people know you very, very well. And of course, I know you to a degree by the word of the Lord, by our relationship. But you said, it was Isaiah in the 6th chapter when he was seeing the Lord, And the Lord looked around. He said, well, whom will I send? And we love the song. We sing about it. And Isaiah said, send me, Lord. And the Lord saw that. Even though Isaiah never left, he never really went anywhere. But it was his heart. As my brother, it's always been your heart. Though there were times you wanted to go, you wanted to take off, you wanted a place. There was a time period when you just wanted to know the call of God. You know, and you would not really ask Pastor Wayne or Sean. You would just kind of hint around, you know, so what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And they'd all say to you, it's all right. It's good. It's good. You'll be okay. And you go home thinking, they didn't say a thing to me. I don't know what they're talking about. They didn't say a thing. I'm asking them. They don't say anything. I don't know what they want from me. And then when I go there, I just came. And you didn't know, though, when you came and you did the menial things. You just came because the door was unhinged or the lock wouldn't work or you just come and hung out or you were at the meetings and you just were there and you brought the which the Lord has so bestowed upon you, his grace and his mercy and his tender heart. You always brought it and everyone would say, we're so blessed by him. Well, the Lord heard a cry of a people and he's brought you there. It doesn't matter the time nor the length of time, but it is the place he has set you. You are not to be concerned about that, but it is there that he wants to bring real restoration, real healing to broken hearts. The split and the fragmentation that church has gone through, he's brought you there to mend it. You know what happens, though. Before anyone allows you to touch their wounds, they tend to bite on you a little bit. They tend to pull away. They tend to reject. Don't worry about that. You know the Lord came to all of us most of our lives, and he wooed us. That's how he does. He draws the cords of mercy. But I don't believe that I came the first time he drew. I can't believe it. I've seen it with people. I've seen him speak. I've prophesied over people for some of them a decade. I've spoken to them, and they've not moved at all. I'm frustrated with them, but he is not frustrated at all. It's incredible. So don't be frustrated. Don't be moved by their reactions. But just know that the Lord has brought the two of you there. Yeah, don't hear their words. Don't measure out their hurt, their anxieties. Don't measure out their bleeds. Don't go there. Hear them, but allow the Lord to heal. He's brought you there as a healing balm, as a mender of the broken hearts. He's brought you there as Nehemiah into a city that has been broken, burnt down, to a place that is filled with ashes. But they are not ready to exchange it for beauty. But you have to know he's brought the two of you there with the beauty so they would exchange it. You have to know this, though. He will take care of you fiscally, financially. He will. Don't worry about those things. You really said that we're yours, and he believed it. And so he has not a problem giving you to a people. You know, Paul will say this, and he won't say it just once, though, because I'm the prisoner of the Lord for the Gentiles. That sounds good, and we preach it, we love it. But did you see what they did to him, the Gentiles? They never received him. They beat him. They laughed at him. They scorned him. They hated him. They talked about him. They made fun of him. Yet he knew that he was the prisoner of the Lord, but it's the Lord who gives us. We don't have a say to that if we're his prisoner. And my brother, you have to know that the Lord is well pleased this night. And even this word comes to strengthen and encourage you. The only way that you're leaving is that they kick you out. And if they kick you out, the Lord will still be merciful to them. But you have to know, though, that he'll just find another home for you. You've become his. He's even healed you physically where there were some ailments when you would worry about destiny and where to go. It just caused your physical body to be ailed to a degree. And the Lord has touched you, and he's laid his hand upon your heart, back, shoulders, arms, both arms really, hands, wrist, like the carpal tunnel kind of stuff. He just worked through your arms and everything to release you so that there's no place you can't reach, no height you can't go to, no depth you can't reach to, so that you can reach to the lowest of the low men and you can touch the highest of the high men. Be prepared. Even the leadership in that city, even the people who are in charge of that city, they're watching. They've taken note about you and you being there. So don't be concerned if you walk into the community and people start looking and talking. Be you out there, and you will see the Lord. Everything I said tonight, you believe for a manifestation fully of his power and of his word. Don't be Pastor Wayne. Don't be Pastor Sean. Don't be me. Don't be Rick Howard. Don't be anybody. Be you. Be you. And my sister, you have to know how the Lord is so. He talks about you quite a bit to the angelic beings. You're a topic of his conversation in the heavenlies. I hear his conversations about you. He's telling them, this is my sweet daughter. She is like incense to my nostrils. love for the man that has taken her as his wife, I adore, and I love her willingness to walk with him, even when he stumbles. Watch her, even in his stumbling, she still delights in him. And you've got to know, my sister, the Lord himself is taking great delight in your life.
That's fine. You don't really let me do that. It's good. I haven't made it to the other side of the room. I'm going to have to start over there tomorrow night. I'm going to have to. So even though the corporation is going to make their decisions, you have to know that it's the Lord who's determined where you will stand, where you will walk, where you will live, where you will draw your income from. He has determined that already, so you don't have to be concerned. They could do all the things they want. He's already proven that to you. I know that because I've spoken it to you. We know that because you've been there before. But you have to know he has determined it. So if they want to stretch out the time, shorten the time, lengthen the time, doesn't matter. The Lord, he will control it. You do not have to give it a thought. You don't have to wonder what the future will be. Because you, my young friend, even though your wife has given herself to the kingdom of God and you've released her to do that and has given herself to many people, she has been a healing balm. She has been oil in the hand of the Lord for many people. We know that. She has been the one that's been building within her that altar of glory, giving glory and of incense and of prayer and of worship and authority. We know this. That's how she is. You've given her to him that he would be that without restraint, without contempt, without anything. But you have to know the Lord is yet to set you into his people and into his body. You have to know this. You thought you were busy and involved and had a responsibility and authority in your career life. You haven't seen anything yet. When the Lord brings that to an end, when he brings it to its end, the Lord will begin to instruct you, and he has given you to his body. He will determine the location, the place, wherever he decides to completely set you, he will. But you've got to know this, that he will begin to pour you out unto the men and to the young men, and it'll be the beginning of the ministry of the Lord and the beginning of the work of God for your own life. It doesn't mean you haven't been doing it, but you're like this, though. You're very single-eyed. You give your heart and life to one thing, and you make sure that it's done absolutely perfectly. She can multitask. You're not really good at that. They got things and they want things from you, but you don't like that. You go, listen, this is where I am. This is what I do. And you know this. But the Lord, he knows that about you, and he will give you to a people, a men group, young men that you'll pour your life into, and you will see the seed of it and the fruit of it will be in your life, your wife's life, your children, your child's life, and your grandkids' life. He's going to see to it that it will be far greater financially that you will leave your family, far greater than legacy. But the kingdom of God, my brother, will come through you in dimensions you never thought possible. And he knows this. If you believe in something, nobody can shake it from your hand. And see, that's why he knows that he can entrust you with the stewardship. In the day of your natural responsibilities comes to an end, he will lay fresh responsibility of the kingdom upon you. We're good, 7:40. I'm going to do just one more couple. All right. Well, we want to. It's still raining out there, so it's icy, so we want to really release you for you to come back tomorrow. Okay? Well, not we're not releasing you to come back tomorrow, but we're releasing you so you come back tomorrow. So this is husband and wife. Okay? My brother, this is really the beginning of a fresh and new day for you. I saw you this morning, but I couldn't get over there to you. So I was really glad to see you tonight. It is, though. I love to see, kind of were a backseat guy when she dragged you brought you to the church. But you're kind of more the back there, and you looked at this thing as, you know, it's good, and it's fine, and, you know, I know church is good, and we should do this and raise our family, blah, blah, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I love that about you, even though you've got a history of church. You really do. Your family, there's been times of it. But, my friend, the Lord has really turned in your direction. He's not upset with life. No, 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 it's none of those things. But it's amazing, you know, Paul was on the road to Emmaus, and he was heading into a particular direction. And the Lord came. He thought he was really doing everything that was correct. Not saying you're Paul, but I'm using it as an understanding. And the Lord came in the midst of his travel, in the midst of his life, in the midst of his direction, and just appeared. It changed everything for Paul.
And my young brother, the Lord has come to appear to you, to speak to you, to make you aware that he has been the one who has determined your life, your birth. He's the one who's determined even your rugged dude. So I got to make sure this is good, because you will meet me out in the parking lot if you don't like it. No question about it. You are. You're a scrapper, man. You've never been afraid of anybody. You are. You're a fighter. You are. You got it. You're born military, born police, whatever you decide to do. But you got it. You're strong. There's a guy on the other side of the room that would love to hang out with you. He's over there. He's police too. He knows what I'm talking about. Where is he? I want to see his face. Could he wave to me? Where are you, John? I'm talking about you. Yeah, there he is right there. Yeah. So if you want to scrap, he probably would like to go outside and fight a little bit. I think he would, just for fun. Nothing, nobody gets hurt, just a little bit, because he's got some frustration he'd like to let out a little bit. So if you want to, you know, no, nothing against each other. Just a few punches, few hits, and then just leave. Go out for breakfast. I don't know. But this is really the beginning of the Lord turning your heart to him. My brother, because of the strength that you have, and you are one that's always stood up for the weaker. You've always liked that. You've never been a bully yourself, but you don't like when people bully. You don't like when people push you around. You really don't. That's the kind of strength you have. Nobody better dare touch her, man, because that could be a real problem. But every man feels like that. But you have this unusual strength. That's why the kingdom of God has been difficult for you. Because you see how it is, and you've gone through some Christian guys that you thought, man, you want me to be that kind of man? Forget it. You're not going to be that kind of man. You're going to be the kind of man you are. But you're going to be his man. And so he's brought you to the kingdom of God and brought you to this church that you'd be part of the team that in the future is going to build the house of God. Not so much physical, but the spiritual house. And this is the beginning of the Lord really drawing your heart to him to make you aware that he's been around and he's been watching and he does know you. And he's been stoked about you from the very beginning. So you're a young man. Even when you went through your troubled times and difficult times, even there he was there. Your grandmother cried out for you and the Lord heard her cry. And he really saved you because there were a couple times when you were a young teenager, 15 and 16, that you could have really been hurt. But the Lord really intervened because everyone knew but you that you were going to be his. Everyone knew but you. And so this is the day when the Lord is making it clear both of you are for the kingdom of God. He's setting both of you as a man, a woman, a father, and a mother in the house of the Lord. This is just the beginning, the early days, but he is going to bring a discipleship to both of your lives in this church, in this community, to begin to raise both of you up, to begin working with the young people, the youth. It doesn't mean tomorrow, but there'll be a day that you'll be with the youth, and because you've got this, both of you. You understand young girls, and you understand young men, and he will cause you to work with them, and you will pour into them. If Travis remains here for a decade, you'll work beside that young man and his wife, and you'll see God build this. They'll need this room. Well, the youth will need this size room because of what the Lord will do, and they'll have to meet in here, and they'll have to have their own service almost because it'll be that large. But you have to know, you've always wanted to be a young man that marked the world. That was your thing. They're going to know who I am. Well, that's exactly right. The Lord's determined that your name will be known. Young men will mark you and say, I had no father, but he was my father. I had no uncle, but he was my uncle. I had no friend, but he was my friend. I had no direction, but he was direction for me. See, that's why the Lord's come for you. He's come for you because he loves you. He comes for you because he sees the ultimate destiny. Even in your job and in your world where things are not uncertain, he's going to come and cause things to be. He's bearing his arm strong so that you would know that this word is a true word and that he is a true God. And that his heart and his passion exceeds your idea. And his love for you is more than you've ever known. My sister, you believe for him. The Lord will do the things you've dreamed as far as a home and life and passion. You know people don't really know him because he's got a tender heart that I didn't mention. You know it. With you, he's very tender. He is, though. He's very sensitive. If people don't like him, it bothers him. He doesn't let them know. He got that thing. Yeah, whatever. But it bothers him. I can't believe they talked about me like that. Once you say it, said, now I say it, then I want to knock him out. But you know he is. And please understand this beginning of the Lord and the work of God. Do not let anything change this night. This is the changing day. This is the dawn of the beginning of your destiny and your future in the kingdom of God. He will bless you abundantly. All you've got to do is trust and believe him. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you. Appreciate it. Just if you don't mind, a hand up. Father, as we stand in the world, with its darkness and its chaoticness and its the chaos and the uncertainty of our future, we declare plainly this day that we will measure you, your ability, your strength, your promises. We'll measure out what you've declared to us. We will not be casual listeners and casual doers, but we will fully, wholeheartedly give ourselves to you. Lord, let this community, let Virginia know that God has come to Cornerstone and he has determined to make himself known. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you as you go.